Hello once again, and thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And as we continue our studies in learning the Word of God, about contrasting the Word of God, and as you followed along over the last several weeks, we're in lesson number four. And lesson number four will be dealing with Jesus Christ is the King of Israel in the prophetic program, and he's also in the mystery program under Paul's gospel and understanding dispensation of grace. God, he is the head of the church, the body of Christ. So if you're following along, this is what we're going to do today. I ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And if you remember, when we mentioned prophecy, where's the focus at? In times past, but where's the focus? Where's the... On earth. Okay, amen. So when you think about prophecy, whenever you think of prophecy and people's telling you about prophecy, your mind automatically should think earth. Okay? And if you have a chart up here, if you close the chart up, it discloses the prophetic program. Okay? And Isaiah chapter 9. Which book would you think Isaiah, where would it be in the times past but now in ages to come? Where would you category time past? Okay, so when you read Isaiah, you're thinking of the time past, but also you're thinking of prophetic program which will be fulfilled where? In ages to come. Amen. So in Isaiah chapter 9, when we're looking at Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9. It says, nevertheless, verse 1, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Okay, thank you. And afterwards did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee and of the nations. Now this, nevertheless, I was looking at this last night, chapter 8, verse 17 says, and I will wait upon the Lord that hid his face from the house of Jacob and will look for him. Okay, God hid his face from Israel. And if you understand some things in the past, Israel was not following what God was telling them to follow. They're supposed to have been the spiritual nation of the world, of the earth, and it's supposed to have been a physical, governmental nation. It says, verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in where? Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? You know anybody that peeps and mutters and stands up here and tells you? I'll be careful there. But I want you to think about this. And for the living of their God, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it will be because there is no light in them. And they shall come, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungered. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look into the earth, and behold trouble and darkness and dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven into what? To darkness. Now I said this for to bring up the nevertheless. We're looking at Jesus Christ to be the King of Israel. But who are they following? Who was the children supposed to be signs and wonder for who? Israel. See, Israel's a sign, and as we go down through this study and this course, you'll see a lot of things that you have to make a decision on the Word of God. Okay? Are you looking for signs? Are you looking for wonders? But there are people looking for wizards that peep and mutter, speaking in tongues. Follow me? Okay. But chapter 9, verse 1 says, nevertheless, and it read down through our Galilee of the nations, verse 2, the people that walk in darkness has seen a great light. That They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. It's not nations, by the way. It's what?
I
wonder who that is.
Israel.
Amen. It's Israel. Okay? Not the nations, the Gentiles. And not increase the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in what? Harvest, and in man's rejoice when they divided the spoils. Remember we looked at a week ago or so about the tithing and the seed and the harvest? That's what they rejoice in. Look what I've got. Verse 4. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in a day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and a fuel of fire. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even for how long? Ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Y'all know that prophecy, don't you? Okay. What is the sign? For unto us a child is... There's a sign there. And who is that? We know that. How do you know that?
I was taught that.
You was taught that. But where did you find that? Through children's books?
Yeah.
Through TBS, TBN, and all that stuff?
The word of God.
Say that loudly.
The word of God
told you that, and you believe that. Okay? That's what you're supposed to do. It's for a sign. And who is that child?
Jesus Christ.
To us, he is Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we've got to be very, very careful about throwing Jesus' name around freely. There's groups of people out there that says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Judas called him Jesus. He never did call him Lord. You think about that. While you're thinking about this, Daniel chapter 7. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near and before. Verse 14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and language, should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which should not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, who is he talking about here? Okay, when is that going to happen? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Did that happen?
No.
No, it's going to happen, right? Okay, yes, it's going to happen over there. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. See, when you look at the prophetic program, what God told his prophets in times past, some of it is yet to happen, isn't it? We know Jesus Christ, a child was born into Israel, and he came to be their governor, because just what you read, Wonderful Counselor, and he came to, remember John the Baptist? What was his message? The kingdom is at hand. When Lord Jesus Christ picked it up, and we'll see this in future lessons, Jesus Christ did not change that message. He said to preach the kingdom is at hand. He tells the 12 the kingdom is at hand. It was never offered to them until Acts chapter 3. But in order to have a kingdom, you've got to have a king. That's future. That's future. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the heaven. What does that say?
Earth.
In the day, in that day, there shall be one Lord, and His name be what? One. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations. Oh, by the way, let me back up here. Verse 10. And the land shall be turned as a plain from, was it Gibba? And Rimmon? South of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up, and the inhabitants in her place, from Benjamin's gate until the place of the first gate, until the corner gate, and from the tower of the, was it Hanel? Until the king's winepress. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Okay? There's something going to go on here. Look at this. And there shall be a plague, wherewith the Lord will smite all people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That don't sound good, does it? Sounds like a nuclear holocaust. You know? And people will use this right now. See, that's why you better not fight against Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Hey, God set Jerusalem as a city of God, no? Yes. Right?
Yes.
But who's inhabiting Jerusalem right now? Gentiles, Jews, everybody.
Yeah.
But look at this. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great, was it tumult? From the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and in his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight against Jerusalem. This is brother against brother. And the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in a great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts of that shall be in these tents as this plague. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of what? What do we talk about in other things? Who's he talking about right there?
Jesus.
Now where's that going to happen?
In Jerusalem.
In the millennial reign, they're going to come up. All the nations are going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? I was reading that last night. I was like, whoa. You know, that second coming over here that people want to, well, can't wait the Lord gets here. It's not going to be, oh, kind people. He comes back with fire and great vengeance. He don't come back low and meek. He comes back looking like Santa Claus. In a way. Beard, eyes, coming back with a sword. He's coming back for fire. He's coming back with destruction. Now, I know what we've been taught in our little Sunday school class. God loves people. He loves all people. You know, and how could God do this? Well, you do it to yourself. But He's got to cleanse this earth, don't He? And there's a destruction coming. But that verse 16 is who? Who's the King of Kings?
Jesus.
Amen. He's the King of who? Israel. He's going to sit on that throne. And it says, verse 17, "And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." He goes ahead and curses them. See? But you got to go up there. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Book of Matthew is a book. What does Matthew portray Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, as? King. Okay? King. All right? Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1 says, excuse me. Matthew chapter 1. I do this quite often, so you're just going to have to bear with me. Verse 1, verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Who is his people?
Israel.
Okay? Israel. It says, chapter 2, verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and are come to worship him." Who is the King of the Jews? Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? No mistake about it. No mistake. If you believe the words of God. Now, a lot of people don't believe this. A lot of people, they say, yeah, we believe in Jesus. He's a prophet. I was talking to a guy, a Muslim. He was unloading my tractor one day, and we was talking about it. I want to find out something. Hey, do you herd sheep in the middle of winter, you know, and all this stuff and all that? And I said, you know who Jesus Christ is? Yeah, he's a prophet. I said, yeah, he was a prophet, but he's also the Son of God, the living God. Don't go there. That's what he told me. Don't go there. See, they don't want to hear that, but they'll tell you about their gods and who they worship. So you better be standing on the faithful. That song we sung today, "Great is thou faithfulness." When the Lord Jesus Christ is faithfulness, and you put your trust and get in what He's doing today, and the doctrine, it makes you faithful. It should. Despite everything around you, you know, you look out there on that sun-filled day today, and you know it don't get no better when you get out there, does it? Work, all that stuff coming down, pressures. John chapter 1. As you turn John chapter 1, verse 3 of Matthew 2, verse 3 says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ must be born." They're searching the Scriptures, aren't they? Shouldn't we search the Scriptures? John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. Get John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 28. John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 28. But don't look in Genesis chapter 28. Just get Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. John chapter 1. Who does John portray, or who's the writer of this book, the Gospel of John, portray Jesus to be?
Lord and Savior.
Not only Lord and Savior, but God. God, okay? Matthew, King, Mark's servant, Luke's the man, John is God. Okay? That's how, when you read that, you're looking at Jesus Christ as God, the I Am. I love when he said that, by the way. I am he. They fell backwards. What Moses asked? Who should I say that sent you? Tell them the I am what? I am everything. Jehovah, 19 other names. I am, I am. Chapter 1, verse 49. Verse 47 says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, verse 48, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, then thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Only God could do that. Look at verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi. This is how they looked at Jesus. Rabbi. Now, who was a rabbi? Priest or a preacher or a teacher, right? Someone who's teaching. Who else was a rabbi that came to Jesus Christ in the middle of the night? Nicodemus. And boy, when we get down there about born again, it's going to really rock some of your world out there. Honestly. But I'm not telling that now, I'm just teasing you a little bit. But Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. That's who Jesus Christ is and was and going to be. The King of Israel. He said, verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? And thou shalt see greater things than this. Than what? Seeing the living God in front of them? Seeing a sign? Verse 51. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the who? The Son of Man. Ascending and descending. What does that think? What do you think about that if you know your Bible a little bit? Amen. Genesis 28. Go to Genesis 28. Exactly. This is the command center, as Brother Dan said, for the prophetic program as Jesus Christ King and of the earth right here. This is the center of the universe, by the way. Despite of what you all believe, and all the books that you can read in history books and science books, which they change every 10, 15 years. Okay? But God put earth and hung it on what? Nothing. We saw this focus of the earth as a footstool, the tent to dwell in. He put man there. What does Genesis chapter 28 say? Well, let's get there. Verse 28:11. Verse 10 says, And Jacob went out of the Beersheba and went towards, was it Haran? Okay. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to what? Sleep. Verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to... Now, it didn't go from heaven to earth. It's set up on earth, and it reached towards heaven. Excuse me. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. What are the angels doing? You've seen Jacob's ladder. What are the angels doing? Ascending, which way were they coming? They're going up. Descending is what? Now, you may think of it's backwards. I may never thought much about this ever, because where's God at? In heaven. You would think, okay, everything's coming down and going back up. That's not what this says. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and of God and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou layest, to thee will I give, and to thy seed. This is the focus that God set up on earth through the nation Israel's seed, which we find out later if you read down through there. Jacob changes his name to what? No. Jacob changes his name to
Israel,
and they become a nation. What's with a nation? In Abraham, that's where they're born. But changes the name to Israel, and God deals that through the seed there. Go back to John. And get Luke 1 while you're going there. Now that might not, you know, fascinate some of you, but when you put those words ascending and then descending, that's only two places you'll find that. By the way,
so the angels are here on earth.
The command sender is here on earth, and what does it say right here? John chapter 1, let's read that again since you already saw what Jacob said. John chapter 1 said, verse 49, John 1, 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? There's a question there, right? You think he believed it? He said, yeah, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. He said, thou shalt see greater things than these. You imagine that. Was he going to see greater than believing that he's the Son of God, King of Israel? Yeah, seeing him, but look what he sees. And they shall, verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open up, and the angels of God ascending and descending on who? The Son of Man. Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty on earth. In Jerusalem. Okay? That's the city of God. We know that. But just think about that. Jacob was right there where God's making his place. That place where the authority and the throne of God Almighty is going to be sitting, Jacob. I may be ignorant in a lot of things, but isn't Jerusalem the city of God? And that area, all in that area, isn't that where Abraham walked and Jacob lived? They didn't get too far from there, by the way. They went down to Egypt, you know, for a while, but that's still not that far. But he always brought them back to where? In that area. But Jerusalem wasn't known as Jerusalem back in Jacob's day and Abraham's day. See? And they had places that Joshua is called Shiloh. And Joshua set up a throne of authority called Shiloh, and he distributed things to the tribes. That's a government. Who's Joshua a picture of in the Bible?
Jesus.
Okay? Joshua is. Yeah, and he's a throne. He's got power and glory. But this, once he set up Jerusalem, the ladder setting up, but God Almighty, the angels are ascending and descending. He's power. He's the King. Follow me? When you're the King, you got power. Sometimes if you're president, you may not have power, but you still can direct, can't you? You know, honestly, you can. I mean, people don't want to give presidents, you know, a credit, but I don't care if you've got backing of the government or not, you still can direct. And you still set the course of what your country or what your kingdom of all that do, and that's exactly what a king does. He don't sit there and eat, say, I'm Henry VIII, I am, you know, and eat big old turkey legs. That's part of the spoils, isn't it? See? Go to Luke chapter 1. Hey, I get fascinated with things like that. When you can match up something, what's going on? Only God can do this. You and I can. We'd mess it up, wouldn't we? We'd put the Bible in the wrong order. We'd put it the way we want it and leave out half of it and say, okay. A lot of people accuse us as dispensational Bible believers that we worship Paul, you know, that type of thing. I was told one time that, they don't study the whole Bible. They only study Paul. That's why at Canton Grace Fellowship, we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. That's it. And you know, you followed a pattern that God gave them, right? And you think about the pattern Moses was. He was a pattern. People followed him. And people said, well, you should follow Jesus. Well, Jesus followed Moses.
But they don't follow Jesus.
No.
Jesus said, like, tithing is 100%. You give all. You sell all. He tells the rich man, you sell all and follow me.
And what did he do? Yeah, he said, oh, I kept your commandments. I did this. Okay, sell everything you got. I can't get my driveway paved if I do that now. Right?
Don't worry about
it. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, what? David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for how long? Forever. And his kingdom shall be no end. House of who? What's Jacob's name?
Israel.
See, he's got it all.
And he's talking about the earth.
Yes, he's talking about the earth kingdom and ages to come. Now, contrast to that, as we look, if you open up your chart, you'll see the whole Bible, but with a but now. Remember how we study? Times past, but now, and ages to come. You have to get this in your mind, people. You're going to have to close your eyes. Don't close it if you're driving down the highway or, you know, that type of thing. But you're going to have to picture, and I believe every one of you can picture some type of dispensational map in your mind. You know, I can picture this. Everything on here, I can close my eyes and picture. You may see a little different. But what you do get a grasp of, times past, but now, and ages come. And in the mystery program, something that was kept secret since the world began, its focus is where? Heavenly places. And we sing last week that the body of Christ is neither made up of who?
Jew
or Gentile. Okay? That should be in your focus. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 1? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're showing contrast now. And we don't need a lot of verses, okay? How many verses do you need to find out that you're a sinner? One. Okay. How many verses do you need to find out how to study the Word of God? Okay. But a lot of people don't want to believe that, do they? Oh, you're going to have to show me more. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the body of Christ. Now, the church, the body of Christ. And I don't want to step on some lessons down through here. But in times past, there was a church, correct? Okay? Church in the wilderness. Who started that? Moses. Okay? That's the church that God ordained in the wilderness. It's called a church. And it's brought all the way through from Moses down to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the first part of Acts. So when people say that you're part of the church, the body of Christ, They make an error thinking that you're part of this kingdom church. Okay? And not part of the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ. Okay? As you study the Word of God dispensationally, you can see some distinctions. Okay? You have to believe that. Don't believe it because I'm telling you. You believe it because the Word of God shows you and tells you. That's where the rubber meets the road, because we all, you know, when you stand in front of God Almighty, you have to stand by yourself. We can't hold our spouses with us. Well, Jack told me this. Well, did he? Yeah, but it's up to you to believe it. And Dan dragged me and do this. Right? Got to do it. I mean, we have to stand in front of God ourselves. And I'm very thankful that we have a group of people here that believes that. We all need coaching, you know. We're all at different maturity levels. But we're not afraid to ask questions, are we? I'm not. That's got me in trouble. It really has. Put me in the back of the room sometime, turn the chair around backwards. But if you want to learn, you ask questions, don't you? Look at the Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. When you understand the Word of God rightly divided, you understand there's something different. You understand that God made a purpose in the focus on earth and focus in heaven. Today, Christ Jesus is the head of the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Well, verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand of the where? Heavenly places. We already looked at this before, but we'll continue. You can't get enough of this. Your focus got to think, when you think of mystery and you think of heavenlies, where you should be thinking in the dispensation of grace. In the heavenlies. He's in the heaven, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name is named, not only in this world, but also in which is in a world to come. Okay? And he has... and hath put all things, verse 22, under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the
church.
Who is head of the church?
Lord Jesus.
Okay. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all of all. Go to Colossians chapter 1. And keep your finger there. Because I'll tell you what. Only in Paul's epistles, only from God through Paul, will you find anything about Jesus Christ being head of a body. Now, I know what these preachers say. They'll try to make things fit a square peg in a round hole. And they'll sit there with their knife and whittle down and whittle. The shavings are piled up around their feet trying to make stuff fit. And it won't fit, people. You know that. You learned that in kindergarten, which I didn't go. I was too mean. They tied me to fence posts. Just joking. Today that would be called what? Yeah. I turned out halfway decent. But anyway, look. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Well, verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, talking about Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have, what is it?
Preeminence.
For it pleased the Father that in him shall all fullness dwell. Only through Paul's epistles in the dispensation of grace will you find anything having to do with Jesus Christ, head of a body. And you can run verses and coordinates and all this stuff about who is the body. It's you. Jesus Christ is the head. We're members in particular. Okay? We're baptized into one body. Whose body is that? Our own?
No, who? Christ. Okay? Over and over and over will you sign. I challenge people today to find anywhere in your Bible other than Paul's epistles that he talks about anything about Jesus Christ being ahead. He talks about a church. We done said that. But it ain't the body. It's a nation Israel. And that believing remnant will believe what God believes. And over here in ages to come, they're going to believe what God believes. And that's the church over there that was in the wilderness here. Guess what? They're going to be in the wilderness over here. But today, in the dispensation of grace, God, Jesus Christ is ahead. And He's got a body. And we're in that body. And how you get in that body that was predestined before the world began, you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. He places you in that body. And now that body is in the heavenly places. Whether they be thrones, powers, dominion, mights. There's governmental structures up there. And people can't understand that. But there is. And they're going to be. Forever. Forever. Until next week, thank you.